On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Little bits of toilet paper stuck to it, I believe, is where we left off before the mic or before the music.
Big honking mud flaps.
Yeah. Awesome. Welcome to the Audio Whiplash Podcast.
Hey.
Rob over there.
And let's just
impatiently fucking.
Exactly. Let's take a moment off the top here to.
I'm Matt.
To wish Matt. Today's Matt's birthday.
Oh, wait.
It's not? Like so many things on this show.
Callous bastards.
Yeah, so many things on this show. It's close. It's ish. We're not going to lean heavily on facts.
Ever. Facts, schmacks.
Yes.
Draft schmacks.
So young Matt over there is another year older.
Yeah.
A couple more warts on him.
But they all seem to be isolated to one area.
Yes.
Is that weird?
Yes. In front of his pants.
Yeah.
One little wart. Rub it.
So you were kind enough to bring the perfect birthday gift for anybody worth talking to.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't know. I was interested in how you were gonna.
I ran myself out of room on whatever I was going for there. So
a little self glossing was about to happen there.
Back to the wart.
Anyways, well, you said there was multiple warts. I just assumed that they were all stacked up.
Yep. Well, that'd be unfortunate.
Rigid.
Craft beer from a local, local-ish, right? Out in Stittsville.
The greater Ottawa area.
The Covered Bridge Brewery, which is one I had heard plenty about. I think I've mentioned it on this show before. I'm enjoying a podcast for those of you in the Ottawa area called the 613 Beer Cast. And they talk about a lot of local spots. And so I've never tried the Covered Bridge Brewery before, but you've managed to stop in with
a
couple of things. Why don't you tell us about what this one is that, because you brought a few different ones here, two of each of a couple different beers from the Covered Bridge Brewery.
Yeah, so I thought, you know what, let's do the, yes, gorgeous, yes, in my best Marv Albert.
Oh, that's nice.
Hey?
That's nice.
Now,
that's nice.
So what we're having here, so I decided, yes, Matt would be. Now, for all of you who listen on a regular basis and, you know, Matt likes to talk about beer and we both like to talk about beer. It's a bit of a.
Becoming more and more of a hobby.
Yeah. Well, and good beer, right?
Sure.
So, and I've known Matt a long time. I've known Matt from a young man, not able to vote.
A man boy.
Man boy, which is what Matt's handle was for years.
So was that 02?
That was short.
Would have been the first time I met you.
Sure, yeah. Well, yeah. And so
it was short for nothing.
For any longtime listeners, you'll understand that there's years between Matt and I.
Yeah.
And so It's only it's unfair to judge Matt as. But when I first met him, yes, he's wore his pants baggy and low.
I'd still like to, but I'm just bigger. It's harder to find baggy pants.
I'm wearing the same pair of pants. They're just tight. He wore his pants low and baggy.
Well, we've mentioned the Jimmy Eat World versus Iron Maiden debate that you and I had.
That a young Matt scoffed at me.
Had the studded bracelet belt combo.
So Matt's handle at an early age was, well, one of the many actually, was DJ Matt. DJ Matt and the Man Boy Love Club.
Just upsetting for so many reasons.
Yes. So we shortened it right down to Man Boy.
Yes.
Man Boy Matt.
Which was at least tolerable.
Because, except for without fail, you would explain the whole name. Well, and that's really short for.
Yeah.
Blank.
So it really did me no good to have it shortened at all.
No. Well, it did us good, though.
In
between stories. and Matt was a staunch Molson Canadian fan. And still, you will find some.
Sure, yeah.
And then Matt started to slowly expand. And really, as I said, when you meet a guy and he's 16 or 17, he's drinking whatever's in his dad's fridge, yada, yada.
It's what's still in dad's fridge.
Yes. Okay. But you even said.
He's branching out too.
You spent your birthday.
Yeah. Me and the old man went and hit a couple of local spots here in Ottawa. One of them, I guess, fairly new called Bureaucracy and one called the Elgin Beer Project that both specialize in local or, craft brews. So that was fun. And he's gotten into it too lately. So
the reason for telling the story wasn't really to ridicule Matt, although any story.
It's always a fun side road to take.
Any story that starts with that is always welcome.
Sure.
Is clearly Matt's expanding palate.
I have a lot of things expanding.
Thus the tight pants.
Yep.
Hey.
I remember the branch out, though.
Plunging blouse, Smithix, I believe.
Nope.
No?
So we were in Charlottetown. In March of 2002, everyone was enjoying the Guinness except me. I wasn't ready. I was still a Molson guy, and that was a hell of a leap, right, to get from Molson Canadian to Guinness. It was still years later, and I tried some different stuff, but I hadn't. You and me and Jeff.
This is an underage Matt in 2002, I believe.
No, I was 19 in 2002.
Not
at the time, though. You're right.
Not at that time, yeah.
That's
not,
right. No, you're right. So a couple of years later, maybe 2005. We are sitting at the Royal Oak, maybe, in the market.
Yeah, on Laurier.
Yeah. And your brother suggested Tennent's.
Tennent's.
Which was not a hard, it's certainly not a really dark, certainly not any, but he just said, this is where you're going to start from, right?
Yep.
And for quite a while, I really enjoyed Tennent's. But that was my first step into something other than, not Budweiser, not Canadian.
Yeah, yeah.
Not,
yeah, for sure. Not a Keith's.
Right.
Hey, I'm drinking an IBA.
Look at me.
No, you are not.
And so that was it. It was Tennent's, and I enjoyed that for quite a while, and that was kind of the takeoff.
And
point.
I thought it was a Smithix. I thought it was which is a red as well, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought that was sort of your jump off. But you're right, Tennent's.
Yeah.
The much less renowned, anyways. Tennent's, it doesn't really.
No.
Doesn't hit
it's hard to find.
For sure.
There was a lot
and less
of
and less.
LCBOs or pubs. It was tough for a long time. I always had to go back to the Highlander for the longest time, which was strange because
that
was a Scottish pub.
It was a Scottish pub that it sold Guinness.
Yes, it did.
And so it no longer sells Guinness, which is more and more places. You're getting harder and harder to.
Yeah, they've switched over to the Barhaven Black.
Close.
Bellhaven.
Bellhaven
would be a little more local.
Yes, for sure. Hey, that is a local
brewery. For those of you local brewers out there.
The Barhaven Black.
Get on to that, yeah.
Yes, Bellhaven, which is the beer of Scotland, right? Which only makes sense if you're going to have the Highlander, a Scottish pub.
Yeah.
That you would be selling a stout that is your own.
So it was after that I was a little more willing to start trying some different stuff, but it's really only been in the last probably 2 or 3 years that I've gotten more and more into the Ontario local. I was much more open to imports and stuff like that, and then you start to branch into.
And so, I wanted to get, and now clearly Covered Bridge is a local place. I've heard about it a couple of times. I've never had anything from it.
No, this is the first for me too.
I went in and they have a bunch of standards, I was telling you off air, the Smash Paddle, and your Dirty Blondes, your
smashed mustache, didn't we?
Yeah, the mustache smash.
All right. Wonder if that was with the paddle.
Yeah. Two guys together.
We've all been there.
I smashed my paddle on your mustache. Yeah, but I wanted to go with something a little different.
Yeah.
Right? So I picked up a sort of a mixed bag, which you would call a basket of beer, if you will.
Love that.
Right. Well, this is it. And really, that's all I want. Moving forward,
try
I want
a couple of things.
This is it. I want beer. I want meat. Really, the in between, a nice piece of fish.
Sure.
Something I can grill. This is what I want. I don't want. And so with you, I thought, what do you get for the guy who has nothing? Where do you start?
He needs a belt.
Or at least a couple new holes.
Right. Oh, what a dick. Yes.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
So anyways, so they have a bunch of seasonals and sort of, flavor du jour kind of things, right?
Yeah.
So what I picked up was, what Matt and I are sampling right now, is something called Scherza the Great, right? So Scherza, Gaelic for George. Any of you out there interested?
Or in here.
Hey, you know what?
I had no idea what that
was. You know
what,
man? Honestly, it's a nonstop educational process, right? As we move forward, it's what I do.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so it's an Irish red. It's a little fortified, a little higher in alcohol.
It's pretty nice.
I got a double-double, which is it's a mocha stout.
I'm looking forward to that.
Right? And I got Bridge Over the River Chai.
And I think that's, as you've suggested, might be an adventure.
Which, yes, exactly. And after I looked at it this morning, because I bought these yesterday, I thought, oh, well.
It's only Matt.
Yeah. Well, no, and it's a spiced ale.
Yeah.
So to me, it sort of, smacks of winter, New Year's kind of, something in the late afternoon.
Yeah.
But here we are in the middle of the summer, and we're going to give that a crack. And the other one, which I'm actually interested, I'm going to leave for you to have, so on your own is... 1 liter flip top it's called Cabana Suc, which is, your sugar shack for any of you. I know everyone, I'm sure, has their own idea of what exactly a sugar shack is. But yeah, it's sort of a maple.
Well, we decided it maple, was a smoked maple.
A maple infused smoky porter.
And like I said, I'm looking forward to that too. I referenced a few weeks ago on this show a smoked stout from Railway City Brewing Company in St. Thomas that I just loved. So I haven't had too many smoked. I'm looking forward to that. So
to me, this is the day when I thought that I'd be buying Matt porters and stouts. Was never. awesome.
Unless Molson came out with one.
Well, even then. So to me, this is it's a happy birthday to you, but we're both sharing it. And so again, this is Scherza the Great, which is a fortified Irish red. Pretty good. I could drink a couple of these.
So as you've said, if you're local or maybe you get lucky and find it in an LCBO near, it's the Covered Bridge Brewery, and we can both vouch for this one. It's pretty good. They're out of Stittsville if you're in that area and want to check
right
them
on.
Out.
So anyways, this just, as always, as most of these shows do, you start with a couple ideas and then they get, smashed from the side. Yeah, hip
paddle.
Check. Hip check. Okay.
Good stuff. Appreciate it, man. Thank you. And like I said, this one's pretty nice so far. So
and really, we're 3 days past Matt's birthday.
Yeah.
But
you did remember.
I did remember. But
unlike,
because you know what? As everybody who listens knows, I have the bigger heart. I am the kinder, gentler soul.
Son of a bitch.
This is the world we live in.
The bigger heart. I texted him to join me in the old man and just fucking ignored completely. I would have taken a, otherwise occupied or, can't do it tonight or whatever. Just fucking nothing. Just crickets.
That's
the big heart.
I was volunteering at a local hospital. What more can I do for you? I'm busy.
What a load.
I'm bandaging up lepers and the like. I got time to be frivolous
lepers.
And hanging.
Where is this hospital? In what year is this hospital?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about Kendall.
And he says Kendall. It's not Kendall.
No.
It's Ken Doll.
So there was an article, I think it was GQ.
Gentleman's Quarterly.
And we will put it out there for you fine folks to read and view for yourself. Ken has undergone not just one, but several plastic surgeries or character revisions or whatever. Gone is, I guess, beach bod Ken or whatever you would call it. The historic
skinny surfer, border short wearing.
Right, as opposed to...
Or board short, not border short.
Border short. What you know as Ken, of course, Barbie's significant other, no longer exists. We now have kind of short, fat...
Okay, wait. before you depart...
You can't leave
that.
The people hanging on that.
No, the best part is, and everybody, I don't care how old you are, where you, what you're, everybody understands Barbie.
Yeah.
And everybody understands Ken.
Yep.
When asked to describe Ken, the original, the traditional Malibu Ken doll,
yeah,
how would you describe Ken? What kind of guy? Not how he looks, but what kind of guy is Ken?
Kind of a douchebag.
Well, no, and they're like, okay, hold that thought, yeah. Matt. Hold that thought, because they're like, well, he's a nice guy.
Yeah,
you know, he's just a nice dude. I think of him kind of like a Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, okay.
And Matt says again, what?
Kind of a douchebag.
Kind of a douchebag, that guy. That's your traditional Ken doll.
And so this, I guess, goes back to, I don't remember now in the article, did Barbie have to change? There are these unattainable, and it started with women, right? That Barbie was an unattainable figure to expect women.
Well, she's based on a... She was based on Heidi, I believe, a German doll.
Right, okay. And so it was, as time went on and people felt the way they did, that it was a bad Horny. Message to be sending to young girls that this is what you need to aspire to. And so I guess as we moved through, it became someone decided to vouch on behalf of men that was an unreasonable standard to hold.
In the early 60s, Barbie came with a diet book. That said, don't eat. That was one of the rules in it. So that's what you're talking about, right? In terms
back
of
in the day, right?
Yes. don't eat. Okay.
So there are now several Kens, and this is the part that I don't love. Instead of making Ken whatever you're going to make Ken, and then having Ken's buddy, you know, short, fat
Jorge
Asian.
And Felipe and...
Yeah, there's now Mexican Ken, and he's maybe a little shorter. And then there's a slightly overweight Ken. And
did you see one of those?
The overweight one?
Yeah.
I don't think I saw it on the page.
Well, there was probably 10.
So the idea being that there are a different races, which is fine, but also different body types, right? And you're saying, I guess, that they've done that with Barbie already?
Like, yeah, they went with a thin Barbie, what they called a regular size Barbie, and a plus size Barbie.
Okay.
Yeah, so Barbie has now morphed into...
Is Barbie different races as well?
Yes, they've gone with the African-American, yes.
Because Barbie used to have a friend, I think her name was Skipper.
Sun-Yung Kim?
No. And that's, I guess, my point is, why did they all have to be Ken? Why can't it be Ken and... Luis and yes.
Jamal.
Well, whatever. Right?
Jamal and Muhammad?
Yeah. Why do they all have to be, like, you make grow, and essentially you're telling women that men are just interchangeable Kens,
yeah,
right?
Whatever, like, whatever the guy's look, whatever he looks like.
Right.
But that's what it said. He will have cornrows. He will be... Asian, he will be fat. And then in brackets said, sorry, broad.
Yeah.
Okay, you know
well,
what?
That's GQ, though. That's their not Mattel. Right?
Yeah, so. No, for sure. And you know what? And I didn't see anybody in there who was broad.
No.
They were all thin still. So to me, you
well, I'd be interested in seeing if plus-size Barbie is really plus-size Barbie or more like average Barbie.
She is closer to Kardashian.
Yeah, okay.
Style.
Yeah.
Right, which just means a little curvier.
Yeah.
More than...
But she's not 280.
There's no, if she ain't a lady, if she ain't 280. Matt's got a t-shirt. She needs to be shaped like a D battery. And she's for me.
I don't know. It just seems like we've gotten to this. I guess I don't really care about, or I'm not offended, certainly, or whatever, the idea that we're going to show little kids that are playing with these dolls lots of different body types and backgrounds and this and that. Why do they all have to be Ken?
Okay.
Why do they all have to be Barbie?
And you know what? To me, I'm not sure. Like, so I'm a guy, a 70s kid. And Ken, you know what Ken dolls? I don't care what the – if it was a male doll, you had a G.I. Joe doll. That's which came in the same size, right? He was like
sure,
the same
that
as
that was bar- for little boys, right?
Right. That's- right. He come with camo pants and
– sure.
These Ken dolls – and now Matt is going to post, I'm sure, the link.
Yep.
They all had, to me, didn't matter which ethnicity you were, if you were the young, you know, Eurasian-looking guy, sort of, or the light-skinned guy with the cornrows.
Yeah.
All of them have, now just work with me, don't make me say it out loud, delicate features, high cheekbones.
Yeah, they're Caucasian.
No, I'm talking
you're
about
going somewhere else.
Yeah, no, I'm talking. Okay. And honestly, they've taken the same Barbie eyes, I think, and they've put it on. They all had a very feminine look to
okay.
me.
Okay. I can't say I read that far into it, but I.
Okay.
I'll take a look again. Like I said, we'll share it at TallCanAudio on Twitter, facebook.com/TallCanAudio.
Man, and I'm interested. I want to hear feedback.
Yeah.
I know we throw that out there all the time. I want to hear feedback. When you look at those pictures.
Man, it's just weird.
It's weird, for sure.
Finding those, though, on your fucking toy store shelves right beside the Golden Girls toys that came out last year. Action figures.
Blanche DuBois.
That's what you're going to turn into, ladies. Forget Curvy Barbie. Eventually, you're all going to be Blanche DuBois.
Yes, well, or Blanche Devereaux. Blanche Devereaux.
Yeah, Blanche DuBois is from Streetcar.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blanche Devereaux is on Golden Girls.
Whatever.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Strange, man.
Yeah, to me anyways, that is the deal. And if you look at...
Just 17 Kens and...
And if you... When they talk about broad or a fat Ken or, sorry, broad...
Yeah.
I didn't see any of them. And the reality is, if you're looking at something... The reality is, in the 60s and the 70s, people were thinner.
Yep.
There wasn't as much disposable, throwaway, crap, processed food as there is now.
Yep.
Right? It's just different. Right, so people were thinner then, flat out. Maybe not healthier. I'm not suggesting that.
That's because they all, smoked.
And drank heavily. Yeah. But the reality is everyone was skinnier.
Yeah.
Everybody is heavier now. Even if you're fitter and stronger, you are just flat out heavier. We are a heavier society. We are a fatter society.
Hear.
Yeah. Okay, so that's where prior to the show, when you said, oh, what are you doing? What are you looking at? I was looking at average heights and average weights around the world. So these fat or broad Kens, which honestly, I'm looking at them all going, well, I don't know.
I got to drop 40 to get to broad Ken.
Right? Well, so to me at 6 feet height, at 6 feet tall,
yeah.
Right? I should be 175 pounds. That's what my body mass
left that
ended.
In the fucking rear view. In like
okay, grade 9.
Okay, I was gonna say high school, but whatever.
And so,
yeah, for most men, right?
Like, this is what I'm saying is, and so I was interested in what the average height and weight is worldwide, right? This does not the average American male, average, flat out, median, 5'9", 190 pounds. That is your average. So
I'm,
to me,
I'm more intrigued by that height number than the weight number, to be honest with you. Like, it just seems most North American men are closer to 6 foot these days, wouldn't
well,
you
see, but,
have thought?
But you were what, 6'2"?
Six, yeah.
Okay, and so, and I at 6 feet, I think I am just above the average guy. There's lots of dudes taller than me at 6 feet, but there's a lot shorter than me as well.
See, and that's it. Like, we all have a couple of, and maybe it's just relative to our family. I have a cousin, he's 5'9", and we give him horrible shit for being the smallest.
But you have a sister who's 6 feet. That's the difference.
We have a tall family, and that's all. But it just seems like, I don't know how many men, I don't know if I know any men under 5'9". I guess I know Maddie. Sorry, Maddie, but I don't know if I know any men under 5'9".
Yeah, for sure you do. And I'm thinking of two right now. Sulu, for sure.
Yeah, okay.
He's not a man, though. So
I would have thought him right about 5'9".
Oh, I think he's about 5'6". I don't know.
No, I'm sure it's correct. I just was surprised by that number. That's all. And more than the weight.
And right? So it's between 5'9 and 5'10".
Sure. Okay.
Right. So, yeah. But to me, all I'm saying is, man, that's none of those people are representative. None of those Ken dolls. So if they've tried to sort of go in a different direction, you know, if they don't have six packs, all right.
Yeah.
Because to me, yeah.
But they didn't go far enough. There's no fat, drunk, wife beater Ken, right? There's no.
Okay. Well, you know what? I got a
crippled Ken. There's no.
I got it. Yeah.
Like, come on. Crippled, you got to represent.
Crippled by his drinking.
Cirrhosis of the liver, Ken.
Yes.
Right? I don't know. It just seems like the same thing with the Barbie. If plus size Barbie is only Kardashian size instead of Rosie O'Donnell size, then
thicker in the ass,
right?
Soul region,
right? You didn't go far enough.
No, and that's all I'm saying is, yeah, you went with more voluptuous,
right?
Not, yeah. You know, and if that's your burly or beefy, sorry, beefy broad, I don't buy it.
Beefy broads.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't have one for that either, but maybe.
How many shirts of the greats have I had? Yeah. If no one can see under the covered bridge, we'll see where we're getting. Yeah. Did you happen to have time to give a read to whatever, catch in the news, the fact that our newspaper system is looking for a bailout?
I did.
Although there are people out there who would encourage you heavily not to call it a bailout, but that's pretty clearly what it is. We will share. I think I'm going to share both posts here.
You should.
There are intriguing arguments for and against. I believe they were both printed in the National Post last week.
They are both Post articles, yep.
In terms of why the Canadian government should step in to help save newspapers and arguments as to why that's not a very good idea. To me, this is as you know, and we've discussed on this show before, the media, especially journalists, right, as opposed to other forms of media, because that is an important distinction, I think have done a terrible job. I think have dropped the ball in a big way, both here and in the United States. And I think in some ways are now reaping exactly what they sow. On the other hand, I am sensitive to the idea that there will always be a Toronto Star. There may not always be a, you know, Peterborough whatever, right?
Examiner.
Right. And those things are important. Essentially, what newspaper owners have come together, and it points out in a couple of these articles, basically in both of them, that they have never agreed on anything. They have always been in competition with each other. But over this, they have come together to ask the government for $350 million a year to sink into newspapers. That's a lot of fucking money. As we get into this, I will point out I am now moving into the mocha stout, the double-double, I believe was what we were calling it from...
Again, from Covered Bridge,
right? Yep. So we're going to crack that open as we get into this.
Matt's drinking more heavily than I am, apparently. So, but to me, the thing is, newspapers started with...
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, nice.
I like that.
Evenings or weeklies, a bigger Saturday edition.
Yep.
And to me, as demand grew, more papers. You used to have a morning edition, and you had an afternoon edition as stuff broke. Two editions a day, right? Then that's gone the way. You have magazines like Maclean's that used to be weekly are now monthly.
Yeah.
Right? As you have other sources. And to me, man, the most interesting thing, and as I was, I said it to you off air, right, is, you know, the chief argument for it is we need to educate the people. We need to have an informed public. If you're to have a solid democracy, you need to have an informed public.
An informed democracy requires, journalism, journalists to be the one to inform them. And as you were getting to before I kind of cut you off.
Sorry, I'm, you know what? Turnabout's fair play, really.
The most democracies, certainly in North America, are not fucking informed.
Most are not. None are. But that's the beauty and the curse of it. Show me one that is.
I'm not. Are you
anytime
saying
you
no
open,
people are informed or no democracies?
No democracies.
Okay.
All are more or less.
What percentage of people do you think are informed enough? Like, and we've talked about this, and I'm not suggesting this. If you were only allowing people who were informed on the issues to vote in a federal election, let's not even go down as far as municipal, what percentage of the population would be able to vote?
25.
Yeah, see, I was going to say around 30. So, and only just because it was a round number, right? But yeah, that's about, everyone knows someone who doesn't know who the current prime minister is. And that should be a slam dunk, right? But forget about the issues, forget about the economy, forget about even knowing what your own investments have on the line as you...
Like my buddy who in college got knocked out and comes to and they're like, are you okay? Are you okay? And they're like doing the finger in front of the eye and they're like, you know, what's your phone number? And who's the Canadian prime minister? And he's like, I don't know.
I wouldn't have known
and
that.
Like, and that's what he's like. He goes, but I didn't know before. It's not like I lost it. And I'm like, how do you get to be
right
in post-secondary education and you don't know?
And so when you get down to things like municipal, like I get it if you don't know who your city councilor is, right? Or
and the reality is that is your most important.
It should be, yes. And that to me is probably worth saving. I don't know how many...
Which municipal. Is worth saving? Municipal what?
Newspapers. I don't know how many Globe and Mails are worth it. I don't know how much the National Post is worth it.
Well, see, and the big screws that are being put to it are simply newspaper sales are in the toilet because everybody's going online.
Well, and that's one of the things that is cited in, again, in both of these articles are, and it depends what side of this discussion you fall on, but... The internet has disrupted your business model. Well, what business model, what industry hasn't been? Ask mom and pop who were running a craft shop or whatever they might have been running downtown what Amazon has done to them. The difference is run a newspaper, so you
Costco,
get to tell the world.
Walmart.
Right. Yeah, forget Amazon even, right? Like all these sorts of things as they move in. Little record shops. It used to be a lot of fun. Those were family owned. These were... First of all, HMV and those types of places moved in and ran them out. And then the internet ran those places out of business. So
streaming, all those things.
Yeah. As things evolve, it never stays the same. And so it's up to you to.
As you've read this article, some other business has been squeezed out by online.
Right. And the newspaper industry is one that seems to want to just sit and they have your attention, right? That's the difference. Mom and pop who ran the little grocery store, once they went out of business, the people who knew it and no one else ever fucking did. The ones who write newspapers get to tell you why this would be such a tragedy if they went under. And it would be damaging.
Because they're the ones, mom and pop, don't have the opportunity to stand up on their soapbox
right.
and reach
That's
thousands,
right.
hundreds of thousands of people and say, Our livelihood is in jeopardy.
Right.
And when that happens, you will be less informed.
Yep.
No, I won't.
Because I'll buy my vegetables from the big guy instead of you. And,
right. And
it's a loss, but as you're saying, the newspaper industry, as they go under, get to kick and scream and tell you every day
well,
in the morning.
That's what I'm saying,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
They have that opportunity. But the reality is one of the strongest arguments for it,
mm-hmm.
for subsidization or... clientization.
Yeah.
I like the word. was that you need to be informed on the things that government does, right? In terms of the workings and what's yep. happening in government and in your neighborhoods. Well, you know what? Watch CPAC. How about that? If you want to see the workings of government and what's happening,
well,
watch that boring as hell shit. And
my question would become, how long does that stay legit when the government is paying your way to go, hey, your funding depends on the fact you're not making us look like idiots?
Man, a week into the Trump administration or 2 weeks in when they're having their Friday presser
yeah.
and they're limiting mm-hmm. the news agencies that are allowed in,
mm-hmm.
you are already allowing, and that's in a different sort of setup, yep. right? In terms of you are already saying, hey, you're not giving the view that we want.
Tell the story we want you to tell, or
you're not coming in.
Yeah.
And so, to me, I don't care if it's more subtle here. Yeah. If you are running a news agency that is blasting the way the government's behaving, or the bills and laws that are yeah. passed and enacted, how long before the government says, hey, that kind of stuff, man, we can't have that. We're not going to pay money to that. When I think you need, even in this day and age, when newspapers have their own leanings,
yeah,
right? You need to have multiple sources on the same topic. So to me, yeah, I think you need to go in this day and age when my Google Play Music or yep. anything else on my phone, it's just set up right there.
Yeah.
Boom. It's just I'm doing it and I'm moving forward and it's paying. That's the way it has to go. Let me pay, like TV.
Yep.
Let me pay
and
for the shit that I want to see.
Example that they cite, right? And they, where are the good shows right now? Are they on NBC? Or are they on HBO? Or are they on Showtime?
It's not TV.
Yeah.
It's HBO.
So you have to get to a point where if you want to pay for the good shit, we'll give you the good shit, right? And it's the same thing is happening. I have an app on my phone called The Athletic TO. And for my sports coverage, more often than not, that's where I'm going. I'm sick of the ads. I'm sick of poor coverage. I'm sick of what... And The Athletic, they went out and they are a sports company. They're gradually moving into each city and they get good writers to attract people. There is not an ad to be found. There is not a commercial. There is no little anything tracking you up in the corner. You pay your $5 a month and you get top-end writers who cover the Leafs, cover the Jays, cover the Argos, cover TFC, the Raptors, whatever you want to do. And it's worth it to not go through the bullshit. And that's where news has to get. I get that sports is a very limited thing, but you're willing to pay for it because it's good and you get rid of the ads, right? And so that's where news needs to get to, is they have, frankly, always been ad-driven. The ad companies, the advertisers have gone, we can spend our money better on Facebook or on Google or whatever, and have left the newspaper, and now there's no money coming in. You need to ask the reader to start paying for it, and the reader thinks you suck. So until you get your shit together...
Well, and you've touched on it, right? And if we use sports, and I know that's likely not what you're all... But use sports... In the greater sense,
yeah,
right. We all have go-to sources,
right?
In terms of mainstream media,
right?
And you go, and clearly you have less and less as you start to search out other places to find information. Where you go, yeah, that's my local rag, but it sucks,
right?
And in sports, in this case, all right, those three guys, the three local beat guys, I hate them all.
And they're tied in. They've been there forever, and they say what the management wants them to say. But it's no different, as you said. The way I think that these newspapers can start to save money is drop your fucking sports section, drop your entertainment section, and start giving me the goddamn news. Stop telling me that what Kim Kardashian did at the whatever award show, and stop pretending it's news. Start talking like these are things you need to know. Even at the local level, this is what your school board passed. This is what your kids will now learn because of it.
Yeah. See, to me, those sorts of things, those don't come from, those have to be grassroots, or they have to be, people need to vote with their dollars. And I get it. I can put up with local beat reporters if it sucks, if it's free.
Right.
If you're willing to pay nothing and just
then eat, you get what you get.
This is it.
Yep.
Right.
People always used to, you always had to pay for the newspaper. It's only been in the last 5 years that you've been able to jump online, 10 years, whatever.
Yeah. Yep.
So you always had to pay for it.
And you'd read and you go, I hate that blank. That guy. But, you know, in Toronto, you would read The Sun and you'd read The Star, or right. you'd read The Globe.
Yep.
Right. You would have these differing opinions. Now, traditionally, they all have different political slants.
Yep.
And you know, you were going to read the paper that had the most similar political slant to you.
That's right.
Right? And we all know, or anybody with half a brain understands, yeah, you got to read shit outside your comfort zone if you want to grow.
Yep.
Right? Nobody reads the same opinions as you and grows. Right? You can disagree with me.
Yeah.
But at least the debate and the conversation, you grow. I grow. We all grow. Because to me, yeah, you and I can have a conversation about whatever. And I disagree with you. And I leave going, man, that guy's a fucking retard.
That happens.
Sorry if retard is not politically correct.
Yeah.
But you go, yeah, that guy's an idiot. Right? But at least maybe there's something that I've taken from what you said that I add to my repertoire, sure, that I have assimilated into my arguments.
Well, and that's why I sent to you and why we're going to post here both sides of this debate, right? There is absolutely an argument to be made that the media here, that journalism here needs to be better and maybe needs some help to do it. But there is an argument that says this is the other thing they're trying to sell here is that this is a temporary measure. Mm. Once the government gives you that $350 million a year, they're never taking it back. Because, as was pointed out in the article, a newspaper that goes under tomorrow is disappointing, it's upsetting. A newspaper that goes under in a year or so because the government withdrew its funding, now the government's the one who looks like, once this goes out there, it stays out there. You will have a constant government-funded media.
And Trudeau said no, right? He said they're not willing to do that.
No, he did not. Well, he said he wasn't willing to do the broadband tax thing that they were like, but they are absolutely looking to help the media here.
Sorry,
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, there was something that was looking at, you know, we'll charge these big media companies and people using big time internet feed and whatever, $5 a month or whatever it was going to be, and that money would go towards, and he went, no, we can't, we're not going to do that. But they may just hand out $350 million to...
Well, because, and the point was, yeah, not everybody uses...
Like, let's start at the top. Right. And that is the point. We both have people in mind. We both know people who go, it doesn't matter how much money you give to the media in terms of to write real journalism on important things. Some people will never read it.
Right. Right.
And so can you spend their money on it?
Why do we all have to pay if we're not going to read it?
So at the top, my point would be at the top end national newspapers, your sports departments are gone and your entertainment departments are gone.
Yeah, just write on. Like, on the issues like of the day.
Why does a national newspaper need to have a writer on the Flames and the Canucks and the Oilers? They don't. Leave that to the local guy, right? So now you've cut that off. Why does...
Okay, how many national papers are there?
Was there not just the two right now?
What?
Well, the Post and the Globe and Mail.
Right. And to me, the Globe, yeah, they both have very...
Well, and that's
Toronto,
the thing when they said,
Central,
you know,
Ontario slants.
As they start to post this, you know, the argument comes up in these articles that as these won't be bailouts, these aren't huge corporations. These aren't. Yes, they are. Half of the papers across the country are owned by BCE or Rogers or yep. They all have these affiliations.
Yep. Post media.
You're not
for
bailing
sure
that
just...
out. If you want to bail out the Halliburton Echo, I maybe have time for that because it's really only going to cost you like 15 grand or whatever it's going to.
Yeah, 1500.
Right. Those sorts of things I understand. And maybe you can't have a Halliburton paper and a Minden paper and a Bancroft paper and a whatever, but you have a Kawartha paper, right? But it's just you need to force these companies to adapt rather than just bail them out.
Well, everything
that's
grows.
That's the world you live in now.
And
you figure it out as a business.
And George Brown, right, founder of the Globe and Mail, you know, 200 years ago or whatever it was, he would not be happy – right, with the way this is, right?
Taking money from the government.
Taking money from the government to continue to shill for whatever, or the appearances of shilling. Right?
That's the biggest problem.
A free and independent press.
No matter how good a journalist you are, people have to wonder if you're in the back pocket, whoever's paying your bills.
Stay independent, and it needs to be a free and independent press.
Yeah.
And to me, if you're taking money from whoever, right, you cannot be seen as free and independent. And if some stuff has to go by the wayside, as we've said, man, doesn't matter what industry you're in, private sector, whatever, we are all undergoing changes in technologies, efficiencies, and changes. You have to adapt. You have to change with the times.
And so I referenced earlier my subscription to the Athletic TO, right? That's where I get my sports news. Cut sports out of those newspapers, right? And then create something like the entertainment deal, right? Whatever you want to, but make it all pay whatever. Let people buy what they're interested in. Let the market speak.
Let the free market speak. Let news be news.
But get the rest of the shit off it, and you can cut a lot of costs pretty quick.
Well, because
let sports in the local newspaper cover whatever Trent University's, and I just keep using Peterborough because it's kind of that medium sized.
It's a pimple on the ass.
What's
of
Trent,
the GTA?
Trent University's basketball team doing? And here's what your city council just passed. And you know, these sorts of even on a sports level, cover it locally, and then let the big stuff.
Well, tell me something. What would you do? And again, we'll just follow the Examiner, the Peterborough issue, right?
Yeah.
We're not there,
right? Because Ottawa's always going to have Toronto, Montreal, Vancouver.
Like, yeah.
You need these smaller.
And so, Peterborough, you go with. I was reading an online blog of a former high school teacher of mine, and I'm from Peterborough originally,
right?
And he pulled up an article from. It was a full edition of the Peterborough Examiner from 1952, right? And you're just looking at the things that are happening in the news in those days, right? And they are covering a bit of sports. There's a bit of everything.
Sure.
But the reality is if you were to have the Examiner go once a week, man, would you not drive up the demand for that? And it just covered – all that's happening in Peterborough
right,
that week,
yeah.
You're not trying to fill it with ads and fluff and bullshit. And you were going to put out one piece a week.
And it's going to be good.
And it doesn't matter if it's online. If it's online,
sure.
You got to pay. And, and if that's the way it is, man, if I'm living wherever I'm living and I want that, I want to know what's happening.
Yeah.
Whether it's.
And it's geared right at me.
It's not
reading the Toronto Star in Peterborough. I'm reading the Peterborough Examiner every Saturday.
This is the news.
Yeah.
It comes out on a Sunday night or it comes, whatever the deal is.
Right.
And bam, it was going to be this full paper. Keep it, you know, you want to have ads because people want to, you know, advertisements are businesses looking to, but you know what? News.
Yeah.
News. And to me, you and I both know as semi-educated people, you have to have multiple sources if you want to develop your own independent thoughts. And to me, I'm willing to pay. I'm willing to pay for what I want to watch. I'm willing to pay for what I want to read.
In exchange for that, though, I want the shit gone. That's the problem.
Oh, I know. And so you have been long railing against ads on YouTube and ads on...
Again, in the U.S., you pay whatever a month and the ads on your YouTube disappear. You don't have to do that.
Well, see, I'm a Google Play guy.
No, that's not coming to Canada yet, though.
I know. I'm saying, but that should, if it was here, I'm losing that.
And so that's what when they cite the New York Times, when they cite the Washington Post, right? It's no longer ad-driven. Do you want to subscribe to this? This is what it's going to cost. It's going to be very good, and we won't bug you with the other shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, to me, I would like to have multiple sources.
Yeah.
I'll pay.
Yep.
Give me a flat monthly rate, and I will pay for what I want to read.
Well, we've talked about this even on the sports side, right? As the broadcast rates start to change, right? And these sort of I don't want to pay this and this and this to get, like, I have to buy TSN and Sportsnet and whatever else to get all the Leaf games, and then I'm stuck with darts and I'm paying for all kinds of shit.
The New Westminster Kennel Club.
What does it cost me just to get the Leafs? Right?
Yeah.
Figure it out. But they won't because then her little game is over. It's the same in the news.
Okay.
It's the exact same.
Yeah.
It's monopolized by a couple of big corporations who want to make sure they're both getting a piece of you.
Well, because if you want to use that sports analogy again, right? We need the huge, fat, sweating beast that is Leaf Nation. Right? We'll take a little sweat off the backside and prop up Ottawa or Winnipeg.
Right.
Or Calgary or Edmonton. Fuck you, Edmonton.
It's an interesting debate. And
For sure it is.
The biggest problem is the apathy that so many have towards it. And
the reality is, and I think the Andrew Coyne, and I don't want to speak for him, but that article, which I am much more in support of than the Bob Cox, is let it speak for itself. Let it, if it goes under, like every other business.
Yes.
Let it speak for itself. If your journalism is good,
people will
buy it.
Yep.
Because there is a demand for it, and there always has been. People want to stay current. People want to be informed.
Yep.
Right? So go ahead.
That's just my point, is I don't know how apathy.
Okay.
If we decided it's that 25 to 30%,
right,
they'll pay.
But there's shit that I don't care about.
Sure.
So to me, if you're going to subsidize $350 million that's going to go in,
yeah,
I don't, as you've already pointed out astutely, I don't want to pay for any celebrity gossip shit.
That's
I don't
right.
want to pay for any fashion information.
Right.
I don't want to pay for... And I'd be willing to get my sports from my own sources.
Yeah.
Give me what I need to know.
Yeah.
What's happening in world news? What's happening in national news? What's happening in local news? Give me that.
Yep.
I'll get the other shit somewhere else. If I want to know what's happening on Survivor, is that even still on? Or The Bachelor or any of those other things?
I don't care that Taylor Swift and Katy Perry are feuding over.
I'll watch E-Talk News.
I fully understand that there are a number of people out there who go, I don't care who the Jays shortstop is going to be next year.
Yeah.
All of it gone. Give me news and I'll go find the other stuff.
And that's crazy talk you're just talking about there. But it's true, right? So our passion is sports.
Yeah.
Whereas other people, and I'm sure it's as large a population.
Sure it is.
Is celebrity gossip and what's happening with,
it's movies, it's tech.
Tori Spelling's 18th child, whatever's going on there.
Wow.
Anyways, you know what I'm saying? And so to me, we look at sports.
Donna,
like
what happened to you? You were a good girl.
We look at sports like it's. Like everybody loves it.
Right.
When the reality is there's some people who just can't live without that Hollywood gossip.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about that.
What do you think of the double-double here?
You know what? I'm not loving it.
No, eh? Okay. I really am. Okay. I'm enjoying it.
Okay. Well, see, the thing is, to me and for any of you out there, so it's smooth.
Yeah.
First of all, very low carbonation.
Yeah.
Smooth. It has a little too much chocolate finish.
I was
going to
say, I like the chocolate taste here coming off it.
And to me, it's a little too cloying at the end for me.
Cloying?
Heavy and sort of.
Cloying.
Well, come on now. This is a whiplash, right?
Sure.
We have to use language that's appropriate.
We make up words.
Oh, cloying is cloying. Absolutely. Cloying. Yeah. Heavy or thick or on top of you, right? It's just so it's not too cloying, but it is
somewhat cloying.
But it's a little more. It's a little more present finish. The chocolate.
So this wouldn't be a do again for you if you were sitting somewhere.
This would not be.
No.
Now this to me is I could do this in an afternoon.
Yeah.
Right. Or I could do this as an after meal.
Right.
Right. Sit out on the deck. Have a.
You enjoyed the other one more.
Because
the Irish Red.
It's a little higher alcohol, and I say that, but I'm not sure that's the case. No, this is actually higher alcohol. This is actually a 7.4.
Well, then we should probably wrap this up.
As I sprint
out of hand.
But to me, and for me, the importance is as I get older, and I can use that now. less carbonation,
right?
Man, oh man, a heavily carbonated beer makes me go. Yeah. So to me,
I feel
it's a nice, smooth beverage, a little too chocolatey on the finish. So if that's your deal, if you don't mind, which you don't,
it's properly named here, right? Like they did tell you it's a double-double kind of mocha, they warned you right up front in the name, this is going to be, what it's going to be.
So. And it is.
Yeah.
And so in that fact, I would say... they've hit it.
Truth in
they've
advertising.
In well, and it is to me. It's a nice chocolate flavor.
Yeah.
I get what it is.
It's just not your deal.
Just not my deal.
That is the Covered Bridge Brewery. Thanks, man, for bringing those over. It's good stuff.
Happy birthday, Matt.
That's Audio Whiplash. See ya.
This one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.